And so it is that in times of combat, our young men and women around the world quickly become our brave young fighting men and women stationed halfway around the world in places whose names they can't pronounce. And for added emotional impact, they may also mention that these military folks spend a lot of time wondering if they'll ever see their loved ones again. That one gets people right in the belly button. And should the speaker be going for maximum emotional effect, he will deliver the above passage, substituting sons and daughters for men and women. And isn't that reference, places whose names they can't pronounce, a lovely little piece of subtle racism? That's an all-American red meat bonus they throw in for you. Here's another way politicians express their racist geographic chauvinism. Young men and women stationed in places the average American can't find on a map. I've always thought it was amusing, and a bit out of character, for a politician to go out of his way to point out the limited amount of intelligence possessed by the American people, especially since his job security depends on that very same limitation. It would also appear to contradict that other well-traveled and inaccurate standby. The American people are a lot smarter than they're given credit for. Amazingly, politicians have mastered the art of uttering those words with a perfectly straight face, even though the proposition is stated precisely backward. Judging from the results of focus groups, polls, and election returns that I've seen, and watching the advertising directed at Americans, I'd say the American people are a lot dumber than they're given credit for. As one example, just look at the individuals they keep sending to their state houses and to Washington to represent them. Look also at what they've done to their once beautiful country and its once beautiful landscape. Wrapping up this modest review of patriotic political language, I think it's safe to conclude that the degree of a politician's insincerity can best be measured by how far around the world our soldiers are and whether or not any of them is able to pronounce the name of the place, and whether or not their neighbors back home can find it on a map. I get weary of this zero-tolerance bullshit. It's annoying. Zero tolerance. To begin with, it's a fascist concept. It's what Hitler and Stalin practiced. It allows for no exceptions or compassion of any kind. All is black and white. No gradations. But even more important, it doesn't solve anything. The use of such a slogan simply allows whichever company, school, or municipality is using it to claim they're doing something about a problem, when in fact, nothing is being done at all, and the problem is being ignored. It's a cosmetic non-solution designed to impress simpletons. Whenever you hear the phrase zero tolerance, remember, someone is bullshitting you. Dempsey's Department Store. Drop in today. Shoppers, for a limited time only, Dempsey's Department Store is offering a complete line of cheap crap at extremely high prices. Come in today and be treated rudely by our poorly trained clerks. Remember, at Dempsey's, we're not just talking about the high cost of living. We're doing something about it. We're raising our prices. I'm not sure you've noticed it, but I'm always trying to improve society. And in my relentless pursuit, I feel the time may finally have arrived for me to address, have a nice day. I think we can agree it's gotten completely out of hand. Just to give you some background on my long-standing interest in this subject, when I was a young man, we didn't have a nice day. It isn't that we didn't have nice days, of course. Offhand, I can remember several, most of them in 1949. But somehow we had them without any prompting. No coaching was necessary. The nice days just sort of happened. Perhaps at that time the days were simply nicer and we took them for granted. It could be that today's days leave much to be desired and actually need a little help. But if that's true, I'm not convinced that have a nice day is the best solution. And so, in my ongoing effort to elevate human experience, I think I've come up with an improved version of have a nice day. It's an alternative system of well-wishing, and frankly, something I hope will become the next big trend. But before I tell you about it, it's important to remind you that there's a limiting factor at work here. Most people have very little control over what sort of day they're going to have. For instance, when one person says, "Have a nice day," the other may well be